The acting federal Labor leader Chris Bowen is calling on the government to clarify the rules governing the parliamentary entitlement system. There have been calls to change the rules after several MPs, including Prime Minister Tony Abbott, have repaid expenses claimed to attend various events. But it seems when it comes to parliamentary entitlements, it's a global problem. A huge scandal broke out in Britain in 2009, which resulted in the resignation, sackings, retirement, public apologies, and even imprisonment of politicians. And it also changed the system to prevent further rorts. As Dr. David Runciman, is Professor of Politics at the University of Cambridge, knows all about it. David, good morning. Welcome to Breakfast.
Hi, good morning.
David, following the British expenses scandal, a Parliamentary Standards Authority was established. This is a body that sets the rules for MP's entitlements. How does that work, this Parliamentary Standards Authority?
Well, what's happened is that the rules have been tightened up. What existed beforehand was essentially a culture in which it was understood that the rules were there to be not necessarily broken, but certainly stretched. And I think it was understood that everyone within the system wasn't keeping a close eye on it. There's now a much closer eye kept on it. It's much less ambiguous. Recent evidence is that members of the British Parliament are still claiming as much, if not more, than they did before the scandal. But they're doing it in a way that everyone now understands the rules. And there hasn't been a repeat of the scandal since then.
So it's simply that the rules have been spelled out more clearly, more specifically. Is there any change, like a cap on expense claims, for instance?
They've certainly clarified the ways in which members of Parliament can claim for second homes, which was the primary cause of the problem last time. And the other big change, of course, is that all members of Parliament now are aware of the risks that they're running. I mean, this was a scandal that broke because a newspaper was leaked the information that existed on every single member of Parliament from the Prime Minister downwards to the lowliest backbencher. And they're all now completely aware of the risks that they run if information of the kind that came out in 2009 comes out again. So I think the greatest pressure that's caused the change is the threat of public opinion.
Yeah, but it's not as though those parliamentarians wouldn't have been aware that they had a pecuniary interest register they were meant to fill in before. Was it simply, as you say, that no one was really paying any attention to that register? Not even the press, presumably.
I mean, yeah, opinions differ about this, but I think there's a feeling that inside the system, all of the people who were responsible for keeping an eye on this were willing to turn a blind eye. No one was really prepared to call anyone else out. And the other thing that was so striking about the British scandal is that when it broke, absolutely everyone was implicated, from the top to the bottom, and all of the main parties. So no one was really able to make political capital out of it. I think that may be a difference in the scandal that you have in Australia at the moment.
Oh, not particularly. You know, but a Parliamentary Standards Authority established, is that a separate body? Because there has been a call here from the third party here, the Greens, for an integrity commissioner. Is that the same sort of thing?
It is an independent body, and a man called Thomas Legg was put in charge of this. There was still quite a lot of resistance, and there still is quite a lot of resistance by members of Parliament who think that Parliament is sovereign and ought to be able to regulate this itself. And the system is not settled yet, and I think there's still a certain amount of debate within the British system as to how this is going to play out in the long run.
So in terms of an example of this new system, if an MP now is making a travel claim, what sort of documentation is required? Anything different? Do they have to have a conversation with anybody, or is it the same paperwork, essentially?
As far as I'm aware, it's the same paperwork. I mean, it's evidence of this. I'm informed on this as a member of the public and as someone who studies politics. The details of the system, how the actual paperwork has changed, I don't know. We don't see it. The public doesn't see it. The public hears about this stuff when a scandal breaks. The public doesn't hear about this stuff when the system is working as it seems to be working now.
So it's not more transparent. It's not more transparent.
It doesn't seem to be more transparent, and there was a certain amount of disquiet when it emerged that expenses claims have not gone down. If anything, expenses claims have gone up. What there is a complete understanding by everyone involved that any information that does come out is going to have to pass a much higher standard of unambiguous probity than it did in the past. The nudge and wink system has gone. But that has gone because there's been a cultural change.
I know that back in 2009, some of the claims that British parliamentarians were making were quite outrageous. For cleaning the moat was one of them, and the second homes was a big thing. Here in Australia at the moment, I mean, this story's come up from time to time, but here has been a rash of politicians claiming the cost of going to another MP's wedding. How do you think that would float under the British system?
under the current British system.
Yes, the new as in the new British system.
Yeah, the new British system, those kind of travel expenses, as far as I'm aware, would not be permitted. I mean, the outrageous expenses that happened in 2009, that has gone, that has been tightened up. MPs can still, of course, claim travel expenses. They can still claim expenses that they need in order to do their job. And that system is, there's no way it's going to be clamped down to the extent that travel expenses are not allowed. But the kinds of things that are happening in Australia at the moment, I do not think would pass under the current British system.
And just finally, just remind us, the wash-up of the British expenses scandal, were any MPs sentenced to prison in the end?
Yeah, there were a few. There were a number of prison sentences. They were all fairly junior figures in the British system, one or two former ministers, but none of the major
players. But they served time in jail?
Sorry?
They served time in jail?
They served time in jail. The sentences varied from about 12 to 18 months. It also included one or two members of the House of Lords. But the most senior figures, the worst that happened to them was that they had to pay back the expenses, and in one or two cases, it ended their political careers. A number of senior ministers resigned. But the jail sentences were, on the whole, handed out to politicians that the British public didn't know that much about till they saw their faces on the front page and they saw they were going to jail.
David Runciman, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time. David Runciman is Professor of Politics at the University of Cambridge and author of The Confidence Trap, A History of Democracy in Crisis from World War I to Now, published by Princeton University Press. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 6:26.